energy.
It's going. We're on. But it's like, we're on air. Okay.
Shout
no.
out. Yes.
This is not fair, Dave. You're not fair now. Okay, wait a second. It goes as follows. Shoyel Umeshev, Kenyan number 42. We're coming down. We're coming down. Let's go. Everybody say. Kenyan number 42. What? Kenyan 42, everybody say. What? At a 48. The wind stopped from the beginning. Okay, 42. Shoyel Umeshev. That means, what's Shoyel Umeshev? Question and answer. Right, what's a Sholomeshiv? So that's good. What good is a Sholomeshiv? What does a Sholomeshiv do for you? Ask and answer. A Sholomeshiv, someone asks and answers. Now there's different ideas. What's the guy? What's he supposed to be doing? Sholomeshiv. So let's take it, you know, take it out his way. You become Shalom Eishiv?
I am one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is it called Shalom Eishiv? So some people call him Eishiv. Some people call him Eishiv. Why is it? But what's the vote of Shalom Eishiv? What's the vote in Shalom Eishiv? Good kasha.
Okay.
Is the main point the question or the answer?
Both.
Chari the Meshiv. You have questions, he gives answers. It's the Meshiv. Why do we call him a Shalom Meshiv? Okay, that's a silly question. Okay, so you said it as follows. That we know that that we're going to go through different things. It's not a long one. This is not a long share. Chayra. But there's... I'm going to try to pull out one or two. No, it's not so good. What does it mean? In order for a person to understand, says the Tiferes Yisrael, let's read the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes says, Kirak ayadei she'elois u'tshuvos yischakaku hadavar b'leiva shemeya. Only through question and answer does it get into your heart. Let me read you a few different things. The Maral says, Maisa, we have there's one of the biggest mitzvahs that we know. We start the year off with the Seder, Pesach Seder. That's like, you know, the big thing. It has to be Ayadei Sipur. Sipur Yisrael Mitzrayim, says Abchaim, has to be through questions and answers. The Gemara says that you have to ask a man ishtana and give an answer. Even if you're there with just an adult, doesn't to be a kid, you're there by yourself, you have to ask a question, give an answer. What's the pshat in asking and answering? So we know a story. Sipur, it's a key of Sipur Yisrael Mitzrayim. What's the pshat? What's the point of a story? Sometimes when you say, you have a story, like it goes right in. You hear a good schmooze and you have a good story. You remember the story and they remember what he was trying to bring out from the story. That's just how it works. A good story is something, but we can get off the. This is one of the things I'm not supposed to do, especially in this thing, because when you have a good book, you have a good book, the way you write the story is a question of how good the book is. The shaila of how good the book is how good the story is how it's written, how it goes in. What does it ever do? So it goes like this. We're just going to Shalom Eishiv. It says we have Vigatel Pincha V'Yamur. The Yisrael of Chinuch is the Yisrael of Chinuch. This is, we have a seat here for you. The Yisrael of Chinuch is Pesach. We're trying to be Mechanach our kids. You see, it's Mitzrayim. We're going now through the Parshas of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We already got the Parshas Yisrael, and as we did in the morning, it says Anoche Hashem Elokecha Asher Oitzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, right? And we know that Emun of Hashem is dependent on Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we start Pesach with Yitzias Mitzrayim. How do we start Pesach? What do? We have to start with Shailos Tshuvos. Ask your kids. Get the kids involved. And Shailos Tshuvos means getting them involved. The Yisrael of a Shalom Eishiv. We'll have a different, maybe one or two different riots to this. But you should have a Sholem Eishiv, is he's getting you involved. Sometimes, if you learn a Gemara, and I learned it. I know it. Yeah, we did it yesterday. So if I could go and ask you a question that you don't know the answer, so then you get involved, and then you think about it. And if I ask you a question on the Tesis Taka that you never thought about it, so then you'll think about the Tesis. Try to get the Tesis again. Get the Tesis clear until you're able to get it clear enough that you're able to give an answer. And if it still is not a good answer, then you ask me, what's the answer? Then I was a shoyl and I was a meshiv, and I got you involved in the Tesis. And then you got the Tesis. You got it for real. There's many stories. The Chafetz Chaim. There's a few of them. One of them I remember hearing a few times. Chafetz Chaim, what he liked, he said, we just heard someone just spoke. Maybe Rabbi Center spoke after davening 2 weeks ago or something, and he said like the Chafetz Chaim is known for his mishalim. Chafetz Chaim, he wrote simple svarim. Seemingly simple svarim, but these are the every single house has a Chafetz Chaim, and every single house has a Mishnah Berurah, because it's plain and simple, getting everything clear. But what he used to do is get everything down kapashas. He used to give a lot of mashalim. There's a whole sefer with the whole sefer of Chafetz Chaim al Torah. There's tens and tens of mashalim that is constantly being down. I'll tell you a story. The Chafetz Chaim used to like to bring things down. He went to Reb Chaim Weiser, who was known as the Gadol HaDor in those days. There was a big problem. There's a problem that a lot of people in those days were being drafted to the army. A lot of frum people were being drafted to the army, and it was very dangerous. And it became not frum after a long time being in the army. They could be 20 years in the army and whatever. And it was very difficult to keep kashrus, keep anything. So Chafetz Chaim decided that it was his job to try to work on having a kosher kitchen in the army. So he decided he was a very old man, and he went to Reb Chaim Weiser, who was like leading Klal Yisrael, Bapoel, and he said, listen, we have to make a kosher kitchen. He said, we can't make a kosher kitchen. We're dealing with the Goyim, they hate us and whatever, they're never gonna listen to us. And he said, Chofetz Chaim says, I think it could be done. Chaim says it's very difficult. I don't know. We thought about all the tzaddim, how to do it. He didn't come out with a thing. So Chofetz Chaim gets up and says, fine, no problem. I got no problem. I'm an old man. I'm 95 years old. He's 90 years old. And I came, I made a hard trip all the way from Raden to Vilna. It wasn't easy. It's going to come a time not so long from now, after 120 years, they're going to come up to me, and the Chofetz Chaim is coming to me, and they're going to say to him, so Meir HaKoyen, you were from the Gedolei Hadar, and why didn't you take care of the kosher kitchen in the army? So I'm going to tell them, I really, really wanted to take care of the kosher kitchen in the army. So you know what I did? I was an old man, and I got on the train. It was very difficult for me. My family member said I can't go. I went to the house of the Gadol HaDor of Chaim Moshe Gruzinski, and I decided we have to make the kosher kitchen. And Chaim Moshe went through all the tzaddim, and he said we can't do it. So I did everything I could. Basically, that's the way it was. He was putting it in front of him. It was like a question and answer type of thing. And Reb Chaim Weiser chapped, whoa. Then that means you're saying it's totally on me. Okay. He found a way and he made a kosher kitchen in the army. That's what happened. In other words, there's a way of like getting it out. There's a real question. Once we have the question, you can deal with the answer. There's many gedolim that I just remember as a kid hearing the certain gedolim would walk into Beis Medrash and ask a kasha. What are they doing asking kasha? To try to prove you wrong? That's why they're asking questions, to prove you wrong. They're asking questions to be able to get you to think about what you're learning. I know my father told me that he lived in Baltimore, so Rav Ruderman, he was a Bucky and Shas. People learning whatever they were learning. He went over to each guy and he asked the question, bring a riot from this Tesis to that. Whatever you were holding, bring a riot to this, bring a riot to that, bring a riot to that. That gets you to think about what you're doing. That's the point. I'm not trying to push tests, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to say that you say of when you're fighting with your chavusa, when you have a question and you want to go and you ask and ask someone a question, you're fighting a chavusa. What's the point? The point is to get the answer to ask the question. The point is to get the answer, to get a clarity. But sometimes you have to get the start with a question. So let's get through some of these riots to this type of yisayid. He says the Gemara, the famous Gemara, the Gemara itself is a story. It's the Gemara Bava Metzia, I don't know if the Olam learned Bava Metzia maybe previous years, but the Gemara with the Agadat Gemara is an interesting story. It says Rabbi Yochanan is the one that was Makarev Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan gave Rish Lakish his sister, his sister who is prettier than him, he said, and Rish Lakish married him. He was a bandit, whatever. Rish Lakish became the second Gadol Adar after Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish used to learn with each other all the time. After Rish Lakish was nifter, the whole story how he was nifter, whatever, Rish Lakish was nifter, and what happened, Rabbi Yochanan got very depressed. He got depressed. Why did Rabbi Yochanan get depressed? So he went depressed because there was no one to help him in learning. He didn't have a chavusa. He said, "A chavusa, I'm misusa. If I don't have a chavusa, I don't have anyone to be with me to learn with me. I'm a goner. I got no. There's no point in living if you're not able to learn well." So says the Gemara. So they said they didn't. The Rabbanan said, "Who's going to go to help out Rabbi Yochanan? We need to get a big Talmud Chacham to go learn with Rabbi Yochanan." Says the Gemara. So yeah, they had a great idea. Nezer Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, the Mechayatin Shemaitzer. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was the guy that was known. The guy that was known at that time, the Mechayatin Shemaitzer, to get everything clear, to get everything mamish, the way it's supposed to be. So he went and he sat in front of Rabbi Yochanan. And he learned to him, and Rabbi Yochanan was learning. And he learned with him. And he said, and everything that Rabbi Yochanan said, she said, "Atanya de Misayelach, I'll bring you a raya to what you said." No, you said like this. So he brought him a raya from a different mesechta. Oh, wow. You said such a stack of art, like a shtickle Torah. You said, "I bring you a raya from here, and I bring you a raya from here, and I bring you a raya from another place." So Rabbi Yochanan says, "At kebar lakisha, are you like Bar Lakisha's Reish Lakish? Are you like Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish, when I said something, he would ask me 24 kashyas on everything I said." I saw someone ask, "How do you have?" And everything he asked exactly 24 kashyas. Okay, said it. A kashya is an interesting terrace, but that's not what I wanted to say. Yeah, you know what? I has another two. Okay. So what is that? 24 kashas and everything he said. So for Kinalei, and then Rabbi Yochanan would answer Esumaba to Peruki. He would answer 24 terutzim. And he said, and therefore it got much bigger and got much better, and the story that I said came clearer. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan, to tell Rabbi Yochanan that Rabbi Yochanan is right, Rabbi Yochanan knew Kol HaTorah Kula, of course Rabbi Yochanan is right. So we don't understand it, like, you know, so why is he learning anymore? That's the next stage. We have to get it clear. We'll see in a second. But see, he said it for it. So you bring me a raya from another Bryce of Yochanan's, right? That's what he needed? No. He wanted the opposite. He wanted the problems with that. Oh, wow. So now he knows he's saying the right thing. He heard the problem. So you figure out what the pshat is, how this works out right. And then you understand that far better. Lemaisa, he wasn't able to live afterwards because he had no life. He didn't have the Torah that he used to have, and without the Torah, he had no life. We know there's a saying. I once Rav Asher Arieli used to, I mean, probably still does, but I would ask him a question. Sometimes he said to me, the Gemara says, sometimes when you ask a question, it says, "Iyu Moisev, Iyu Mefarik." He asked the question, and he asked that, and the same person gave the answer. Who cares who gave the cash and who gave the test? What does it make a difference? What are you tying up? What's that mean of who the guy is? So I'm going to explain the answer that he said. The pshat is, Chazal say that she'ilas chacham, the question of a chacham is chatzi tshuva, is already half of the answer. And the point is, there's different ways of understanding it. That in order to ask the question right, that's why, like, you know, some people hate the certain rabbeim, and you come over, you ask every question. Rebbe, what's that? Like, why does Rava argue on a bayit? So So they say, yeah, oh, good kash, yeah, so shad. So but why does he say? And he said, yeah, but what does Abaye say? What does Rava say? And then they start asking questions like what's going on? So what's John Tezis kasha? And the Rebbe's trying to tell you you don't really know the Gemara, so you can't get Tezis kasha. And if you don't understand the Gemara, you don't understand Tezis kasha. That or it could get a little more involved in that. So the Shadon Shelis Chacham is Chatzit Shuvah. If you have clear what you're asking on, so you can already get to the answer. So Rav Asher Tainid that why the Gemara said Iu Maisiv Iu Mafarik means that a person that's asking the questions, if you have a clear question, so it makes sense that you're going to end up with the answer. If you're good enough to ask the question right, you're going to end up with the answer. And I saw that they bring down from what? I have a good master of Kiriga. What?
Why is he always enough with the
Tzarekin? He didn't have an answer.
So you didn't ask the question? Or you just said
that
if you asked the question?
It's Chassid Tshuva. He wasn't happy with the Chassid Tshuva. Okay, that's a good question. Kregor, you look at Kregor's truvas. He has many answers. He has many answers.
Do you have an answer?
No, I don't know what an answer.
What was that? What was I just about to say before you asked me? Okay, maybe I'll remember soon. The Medrash says a famous story. One of them is famous. The first one is not as famous. There was a guy named Yochum Ish Tzvarius. His name is Yochum Ish Tzvarius. Maybe he was a rock thrower. I don't know what he did. And he was a cousin of Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda. Those of us who learned the first parak of Ovis understands that he was one of the Gedolei Adar, probably the number 3, 4 in the list of the Kabbalah that we have from Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Yosef ben Yezer Yisraedev, Yosef ben Yochanan Yishushlayim, Kil Mehen. Right? So he was one of the Gedolei Adar. So it seems like from here he was one that Yosef ben Yezer was being taken out to be killed. He was on a horse and they were riding him. They were driving him to kill him. And his cousin, who was obviously not such a good guy, was also on a horse, and it happened to be Shabbos. So it says that the Medrash says the Yalkut that he was driving on the horse, and he bumps into his cousin Yochim, and Yochim says to him, Yochim says that, look at the difference between me and you. My guy, I'm riding on a horse and I'm having fun, and you're riding on a horse and Travis is taking out to kill you. That's the difference between the two of us. Look where I ended up and look where you ended up. That was his said. So says Yossi ben Yezer, he says to him. So Yossi says to him that if this is what they do, if this is what Hashem does to people that hate him. In other words, you're a bad guy. You're riding a horse on Shabbos, being over Machal Shabbos. If this is what Hashem does to people that hate him, Kal v'chomer what they're going to do to people that love him. So now he didn't really get the... He didn't really get it. I mean, people love him. And he understood. He said, everyone believes in Hashem, but he was being a bad guy. He believed in Hashem, but he was being a bad guy. Says Rav Yossi back to him. So he said to Rav Yossi, I don't understand, but Hashem loves you. Is there anyone that does what's in Hashem like you, and they're taking you out to kill you? Why are they killing you? So he said to him, if this is what they do for people that love Hashem, so what do you think they're going to do to you who hates Hashem? So basically he put his world in front of him. So this guy, it just went into him. It went into him, like it says, Ke'eris, and he sat down, he did tshuva. He killed himself with Dal and Mises, the Medrash says, I'm not making it up. He killed himself with Dal and Mises, and before they killed Yosef ben Yezer, then he was in Islam name, that means he dozed off, and he saw in a dream, he saw his cuz, Yochim, being brought up, his mita was going up to Shemayim, and he said, Oy vey, he beat me to Gan Eden by a few minutes. That was, he said, that's the magic. That's hell of Chaim Shmulevitz asked, what's going on over here? That's such a weird way to say things. Like, he got to Yerushalayim, why didn't he tell him straight out? If this is what they're doing to me, you know what they're going to do to you? That he only said it afterwards. And the reason is because, says of Chaim Shmulevitz, the first thing he said is, if you're so lucky you get to ride on a horse, you know how lucky I'm going to be. Then he asked, but there's no one as good as you. There's no one as good as you. So he said, look, you know, this is what they're doing to me. You know how bad you're going to be? So the pshat is, says of Chaim Shalevis, that he understood that in the beginning, this guy, his cousin, was out to kill him. He was out to make fun of him, and he wasn't out to listen. When people don't want to listen, you don't answer them. That's not shoyl. That's not asking. It's just not poking fun. After he made the comment, that you know how lucky I'm going to be eventually? And then he said, so then he asked the question, what do you mean? But he realized that Hashem loves, that you love Hashem more than anyone else. So why is Hashem being mean to you? Only then what did Rabbi Yossi feel that he was able to hit him with that vart. You know what's going to be with you? And he did tshuva and he went to Elam Haba. And he brings that over here. That's the same story, the famous story with Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. What happened? He ran after, it's a Peladic story. The famous story when he did tshuva, he ran after every zayin in the world and he went until he found like the king's queen Zaina that he was able to do, and the last minute she made fun of him. She made a little fun of him and she went and did tshuva. I mean, come on. He spent so much money, so much time just to get with her, because they made fun of him, let him have your fun. But sometimes something just, when if you have the question, if the question is done in the right way, that goes in, and that you're able to keep and change. What do we have? What else do we have? Anything else? We have this. It's so many different times. Famous Gemara, famous Maisa. You know the Chafetz Chaim is called Chafetz Chaim. Where does it come from? The pasuk says, "Mia ish Chafetz Chaim oyv yom le'rester." The whole pasuk was written in a weird way. Who wants life? Famous Gemara. Someone named Rabbi Alexandri came into the town square, and he says, "I got a new thing." He makes a big announcement. "I have the best thing in the whole world. I'm going to get you. I'm going to give you something that you'll be able to live forever and ever and ever." And the whole town came into the town square, and he comes and he brings out and takes out his. Has looked to him and he says, "Okay, let me, you know, and we're gonna say to him now." And he says, "Mi ha'ish ha'chavetz chayim oyv yom le'rester v'netzol l'shon chamera." Don't say l'shon hara. And that's a pelad kazachim. We should pass it to him. Why does David HaMelech write it that way in the question? "Mi ha'ish ha'chavetz chayim." And the pshat is that, of course, we know and we understand, but sometimes we need something extra just to get you to think. Why do you think a mushal works? The whole sight of a mushal is to get you to think about it. As the pasuk says, "Ish tfunis yidlena." The way to figure things out is to do things slowly. Again, question answer period is something that gets people to think. So this is what I wanted to say, and I forgot. In Shiur Das, it says as follows, that the biggest aside, one of the basics of life, it's a very weird way of seeing it, but this is how, you know, basic of life is gravity, right? We all know about gravity. And how they figure out gravity? What's the word? So Nuun's Yisoid of gravity is what we live on. Everything comes from gravity. Right? Nuun's Machanish Yisoid of gravity. You know what his question was? Why does the apple fall to the ground? Why doesn't it go up? Yeah? When it falls off the tree, it should go up. It shouldn't go down. It should go to the side. It takes every single time it should fall down. So it must be it's his gravity. Yeah? If you don't have a question, then the answer doesn't mean anything. Someone's going to come and give a shir call. You're going to come and say, "You said of gravity." You're not going to believe him. But if you can ask the kash about the apple, then you bring it right. Okay. That was a good one.